Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for April 12th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The April edition of FT Wealth explores various aspects of wealth management and philanthropy. It examines how affluent individuals in Asia are increasing their philanthropic efforts while diverging from traditional Western models, and discusses a growing trend of wealthy individuals eager to, quote, spend down, unquote, their fortunes quickly on social or ethical causes. Additionally, it introduces the concept of child lens investing, aiming to nurture the next generation of financial literacy and values, and explores how younger billionaires are adopting a more sustainable lifestyle. The report also highlights the role of wealthy donors in bolstering the assets of Hillsdale College to $1.7 billion, and considers whether residing in affluent communities affects the happiness and perception of status among the wealthy. Japan will donate 250 new cherry trees to the United States, with many planned for planting at Washington's Tidal Basin near the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. Prime Minister Fumio Kishida announced the gift during a visit to the White House, intending to commemorate the U.S.'s upcoming 250th anniversary. President Biden praised the trees as emblematic of the enduring U.S.-Japan relationship. This initiative follows plans by the National Park Service to remove trees, including cherry trees, as part of a seawall restoration project in the area. Kishida's decision to donate new trees was influenced by learning about the replacements planned after construction. Three trees have already been planted on the White House lawn. This is what JPX had to say about cherry blossoms, springtime, and the markets in a recent post on LinkedIn. Spring has come to Tokyo. The stunning cherry blossoms are in full bloom. It's that magical time of the year when the country is adorned with delicate pink petals, creating a breathtaking spectacle. Alongside the beautiful flowers, the Japanese market has been blooming, catching the eyes of both domestic and overseas investors. JPX will continue to flourish in Japanese markets for all related stockholders. 7'4" Purdue basketball player Zach Edey, who won back-to-back Player of the Year awards, is prevented in the U.S. from earning money from NIL, or name, image, and likeness contracts, due to U.S. law, because he is here on a U.S. student visa. He did find a way around this during the summer when Purdue spent 2 days in Canada playing a game, but he lost out on millions of dollars in NIL deals during his Purdue years. The NCAA says nearly 13% of all athletes in Division I are international, with 17% playing basketball. Just for comparison, Iowa star Caitlin Clark, who also won back-to-back Player of the Year awards, has $3.1 million in known NIL deals, including with State Farm. Hopefully, she is replacing Aaron Rodgers. The number one student NIL earner is Bronny James, the son of LeBron James. Bronny, who played 1 year at USC amid health issues, has just declared for the NBA draft. Evidently, I've been brushing my teeth wrong all my life. I rinse after brushing to get the toothpaste out of my mouth, according to some TikTok videos and 4 out of 5 dentists, of course. One is supposed to skip rinsing so the fluoride stays on the teeth. The Washington Post has the story titled, "Why Dentists Say You Shouldn't Rinse After Brushing." Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were, "Market Volatility is Back, These Stocks Can Provide Shelter and Returns from Barrons," "Top Goldman Sachs Executive Quits for Hedge Fund Millennium" from the Financial Times, "Bond Traders Are Preparing for a 5% Yield, No Rate Cut World" from Bloomberg. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video from our FIA Boca coverage. Cboe's Dave Howson talks product innovation and international expansion at FIA Boca Conference. David Howson, global president of Cboe Global Markets, spoke with John Lothian News in a video from FIA Boca 2024 as part of our Industry Leader Series sponsored by Wedbush. He shared Cboe's global vision for 2024, saying the exchange is at an official inflection point in its growth and is building out its global securities and derivatives network. Quote, "Last year we migrated Australia and Japan onto Cboe's uniform technology platform," unquote, he said. You watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from an unusual source, Joe's Garage Blog. Actually, it's Joe Schroeder. The headline, "Will anyone, quote, own, unquote, the LLM world? I hope not, because it's actually pretty cool, and I'd like to see it stay that way. I go to this wonderful tech community thing called the Rocky Mountain AI Interest Group in Boulder, Colorado, when I'm not traveling for work. First of all, it's run fantastically by Dan Murray, who has been at the forefront of creating other communities in the past. Credit RMAIIG and Dan for the above image. I barely know anything about AI, I have realized as I have sunk. I mean, deeper into it. Approaching AI with a beginner's mind is simple, but I've created my first custom GPT, a Project Charter Wizard. That is a not-so-fancy way of saying I added context and examples to ChatGPT-4 around the way I think charters should be done and to encourage people to actually do them in a way that grounds projects in the manner intended." My comment, Joe Schroeder is humbly learning about AI. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg, the headline, "Apple Signal of AI Intent Unleashes $112 billion Stock Surge." The stock market has punished Apple Inc. this last year for failing to offer a vision of where its future growth will come from. The shares caught a bid Thursday after the tech giant took a step toward providing an answer. Apple's decision to overhaul its Mac computer line to focus on artificial intelligence, as reported by Bloomberg, struck a chord with investors, sending the stock up 4.3% and adding $112 billion in value in its best performance in nearly a year. My comment, Apple surged, but my Apple stock holdings did not earn me quite enough to buy a new computer. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, "Elon Musk and the privatization of defense. Governments have abdicated responsibility as billionaires become geopolitical actors. Let me tell you about the very rich. They are very different from you and me," F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote nearly a century ago. Even Fitzgerald could not have imagined how far the rich are now able to exert a direct influence over the lives of the less rich and extend their reach into vital questions of security. The scope of Elon Musk's ambition, for example, as chronicled in Walter Isaacson's biography published this week, is startling. It extends from transforming how we drive via electric car company Tesla, or how we think via his ownership of X, formerly Twitter, to ensuring the survival of the human race with his plans to colonize Mars. His SpaceX company makes rockets. My comment, While capitalism rewards innovation, reliance on billionaires for critical decisions raises the question about governance and oversight. As governments navigate this landscape, maintaining a balance between private enterprise and public interests becomes paramount. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, War or No War, Ukrainians Aren't Giving Up Their Coffee. Coffee shops and kiosks are everywhere in Ukraine's capital. Their popularity, both an act of wartime defiance and a symbol of closer ties to the rest of Europe. When Russian tanks first rolled into Ukraine more than 2 years ago, Artem Vrady was sure his business was bound to suffer. Quote, who would think about coffee in this situation, thought Mr. Vrady, the co-founder of a Kiev coffee roastery named Madheads. Quote, nobody would care, unquote. But over the next few days after the invasion started, he started receiving messages from Ukrainian soldiers. One asked for bags of ground coffee because he could not stand the energy drinks supplied by the army. Another simply requested beans. He had brought his own grinder to the front. My comment. I read this headline and I thought for a moment that Sarah Rudolph had some Ukrainian relatives. She would not give up her coffee amid war either. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top clicked item on Thursday was our Markets Wiki page for Cortez Draper, the host of JLN's Futures Discovery video series, who just announced on LinkedIn that he has been accepted into the Master of Science in Management Science and Analytics program at the Illinois Institute of Technology. Second was publication of JPX Working Paper, Volume 42, Impact of Optimization of the Tick Size for Topics Mid 400 Constituents, a press release from the Japan Exchange Group. Third was UN Climate Chief Warns There Are 2 Years to Save the World, from Business Green. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Coffee and cocoa prices have surged. Climate change will only take them higher. Some chocolaters and coffee makers say they will have to pass on extra costs to consumers. Global prices for cocoa and coffee are surging as severe weather events hamper production in key regions, raising questions from farm to table over the long-term damage climate change could have on soft commodities. Cultivating cocoa and coffee requires very specific temperature, water, and soil conditions. Now more frequent heat waves, heavy rainfalls, and droughts are damaging harvests and crippling supplies amid ever-growing demand from customers worldwide. Adverse weather conditions, mostly in the southern hemisphere, have played an important role in sending several food commodities sharply higher, said Ole Hansen, head of commodity strategy at Saxo Bank. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Morgan Stanley's wealth arm probed by multiple federal regulators focuses on whether firm sufficiently vets clients for money laundering risk. Multiple federal regulators are probing Morgan Stanley over how it vets clients who are at risk of money laundering through the bank's sprawling wealth management division. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the Office of Comptroller and Currency, and other Treasury Department offices are involved, according to people familiar with the matter. That is in addition to the Federal Reserve, whose similar probe the Wall Street Journal reported in November. The Fed has told the bank that supervisory action is under consideration. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, U.S. Foreign Investment Watchdog to gain new powers under administration proposal. The plan would bulk up the enforcement authority of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. amid ongoing economic confrontation with China. A panel that reviews foreign investments will get new powers to obtain information and levy higher fines under a proposal from the Treasury Department, a move that comes amid intense official scrutiny on U.S.-China investment flows. The proposal announced Thursday would allow CFIUS, the Committee on Financial Investment in the U.S., to more easily subpoena companies involved in corporate acquisitions and to expand the types of information it can require they turn over. CFIUS would also be allowed to levy up to $5 million in fines for certain violations, up from $250,000. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline: more U.S. regulators join Morgan Stanley Wealth Management probe. SEC, OCC, and Treasury follow Federal Reserve in looking into the handling of potentially risky clients. Three more U.S. regulators have opened investigations into how Morgan Stanley's wealth management division handles potentially risky clients, according to a person familiar with the matter. The business, which has been central to the bank's growth in recent years, was already in the sights of the Federal Reserve over money laundering controls. Now the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Office of the Comptroller of Currency, and the Treasury are also involved, the person said. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. I would appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform on which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the Daily John Lothian Newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.